Israel, Yovan Israel, Omrim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, The Jukebox Boys in the Synagogue, was suggested by an actual episode and was adapted for radio by Joseph Liss. Featured as the reporter is Gene Ellen.
City desk.
Hello?
Yes, hello, city desk.
This is the newspaper office?
Yes, of course.
You gotta send somebody up here right away.
Where? What for?
Terrible.
What's it about?
I can hardly talk about it.
Listen, what happened, lady?
What happened, yes?
Did a tree fall, a house burn? Did a horse get run down by a trolley car?
Please send somebody.
Where?
Miller Park section.
What happened?
An incident.
What kind of an incident?
I'm sorry. I can't talk about it.
Jenny.
Yes?
This may not amount to anything, but you covered some stories up around Miller Park.
That's right.
What kind of a neighborhood is it?
Oh, it's just a neighborhood. A bit of a stepchild of the city fathers, but otherwise just a neighborhood full of people.
Will you tell me what you mean?
Well, there are no Parisian boulevards. It used to be mostly a Jewish neighborhood, but then quite a few Spaniards and Puerto Ricans moved up there. Now, the Jewish section is just a few blocks around the park. It's a small park.
Mm. All right, Miss Guidebook, go up there and see what you find. A lady just phoned to say an incident has come to pass. And don't ask me what's an incident.
That's how I became involved in the story of the jukebox boys and the synagogue. I went up to Miller Park on the L. You know the L. From the window, you can see people sleeping on pulled-out davenports in the parlor. You can see a boy doing his homework on a dining room table. And a fellow and a girl practicing steps to the top tunes of the week. You can see a lot of living from an L window. And if a man from these parts seems to talk loud, don't think he's shouting at you. It's only a rapid transit bellow. When I got off the L at the Allen Street station at 10 o'clock that evening, I found the street tense. There wasn't anything actually happening, but you could see that people were on edge. Around the shopping center at the corner of Gurney Boulevard and Jackson Street, people were standing in twos and threes, talking in low voices. I saw four patrolmen standing in a watchful knot. There was no way of telling what it was all about, so I asked questions. What's going on around here?
Huh?
What's happening around here?
Well, I'm not sure.
With his head, She indicated the policeman.
They're ready for trouble. I understand some man was shot.
Oh.
Maybe killed over near the synagogue.
How awful. How did it happen?
I don't know.
Well, where's he now?
I couldn't tell you.
I walked on. Pack of cigarettes, please.
You know there's a war on.
Sure. What's the trouble around here anyway?
Didn't you hear?
What?
The Torahs were stolen from the synagogue. The Holy Scrolls.
Did you hear about anyone being shot?
That I didn't hear. All I hear was about the Torahs.
Has something happened around here?
I hear there was a fire. Some kids started it. Isn't it terrible what they'll do?
I went to a group of three people talking in front of a drugstore. But as soon as I asked them something, a policeman came.
Hold on, please.
But why? Can't I even...
No congregating, lady. That's our orders.
Congregating? Why, there are only four people here.
Sorry, lady. I have to ask you to keep moving.
What's it all about, officer?
Some trouble at the synagogue.
I walked two short blocks up Beckley Street to where the synagogue was. I heard all kinds of stories, but the synagogue was still standing, dark and quiet, with its gates locked. Police strolled up and down, keeping people on the move. They didn't seem to know just what was wrong, so finally I went to the police station on Allen Street, not far away.
All right, sir. Why don't you just tell your whole story right from the beginning, the way it happened?
I will. You see, today is Simchas Torah, the day we finish studying our Torah for the year. At the synagogue school...
A quiet man was just entering a complaint. He was telling his story to the sergeant.
Our boys were rehearsing with our cantor. Rejoice and be happy in the rejoicing of the Torah. It's a traditional song we sing at the festival celebrating the conclusion of the reading of the Pentateuch. The rehearsal was going fairly well.
Close your mouth!
Oh, I'm sorry.
When I want you to sing, you eat candy. When I holler for you to stop, you're Caruso. Now just relax, and I'll tell you what each of you is supposed to do. That part was much better that time. Now listen. When the procession passes seven times around the pulpit, all of you sing. You listening, Harold?
You told me I wasn't supposed to sing.
Your voice is changing, but not your ears. Listen. The scrolls of the law will be taken out of the ark by the men.
When do I walk around with an apple on a stick?
Don't worry. You won't forget it, Leon. When it comes to food, I can rely on you. The apple on the stick, by the way, is the sign of fruitfulness, because this holy day is so near the harvest time. And the candles, Joseph. What do the candles mean?
The candles are a symbol of the light of the soul, which is the Torah.
Good, Joseph, good. Soon you'll be ready for your bar mitzvah. Now, it's such a warm night. Suppose we go out on the steps for a breath of air. Afterwards, we go on.
That's how it was that our kids were on the steps all together eating candy. Suddenly, five Gentile boys came along and asked one of our boys for a nickel. I don't know why. But before he could get an answer, two of our boys ran down the steps and chased the other boys. As they ran away, one threatened to come back with his gang.
What gang?
I don't know.
Go on.
Well, they came back an hour later, about 9 o'clock. Some of them were carrying sticks and stones. A But they never threw the stones because I saw them and began blowing my air raid warden whistle. Maybe they thought it was a police whistle. They ran away and I chased them. While I was running, one of them hit me on the head with a stick. I couldn't catch them.
And that's all there is to the story as you saw it?
That's all.
All right. Thank you.
That was all. But that story had grown by now into a dozen different rumors. Rumors that ran in whispers all around the Miller Park neighborhood and had almost every man, woman, and child on edge. Could the facts catch up with the rumors before there was trouble? Could common sense relieve the tension? How could it be done? That night, I found boys, Jewish and Gentile, wandering around the neighborhood in large numbers. Some were carrying brass knuckles made from the handles of garbage can covers. Others had ropes and bits of rubber hose. I stopped one of the kids.
Hey, I didn't do nothing, lady.
What did you have in mind?
What?
What are you planning with that?
Oh, this? Ain't it a beaut? Blackjack. Oh, baby. Oh! Oh! Hurt myself.
What's it for?
Protection.
Against whom?
Puerto Rican kids. The jukebox boys. They're coming around here beating up old men.
Nothing happened that night. The next night, Tuesday, I went back to the synagogue. A crowd had gathered, mostly boys.
Bring it up, bring it up. Now, move on.
We're just holding a meeting, officer.
Well, you can't do it here, I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to organize a truce.
Well, you can't take the law into your own hands. You'll have to move on. Now, move on. Now,
how do you like that?
What's the trouble?
I was organizing a truce.
I'm a newspaper reporter. Won't you tell me about it?
I guess we'll just have to hold the meeting somewhere else. You want to come along?
Sure.
Maybe you can help me calm him down.
Tell me, who are you and what's your idea?
Come on and I'll tell you. I'm nonpartisan. Joe is my name.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm going into the Army pretty soon. I'm almost 18 and I'll get my greetings any day. I'll only be around here a little while longer. I'm a sophomore in college. Well, what's the use of me going off to fight overseas if there's going to be this sort of thing back home? So, I'm trying to patch this up before I go. Anybody in his right mind would do the same.
Maybe you're right.
I just talked to the leader of the jukebox boys an hour ago. Now we've got to get busy here. Come on, let's get moving. Before we start this meeting, how about parking your artillery in this garbage can here? Are you living in a democratic country or is this a fascist country where you have to carry weapons? Can't you trust your neighbors? Aren't there good Jews and bad Jews? Good Puerto Ricans and bad Puerto Ricans?
Well, we got some Puerto Ricans in our club. Some of them is okay.
Well, all I know is they're organizing against us. The Puerto Rican Knights, the Mysterious Five, and the Terrors, all down by the jukebox. And we'd better be ready.
All right. Now, here's the point. I've been talking with their leader. They'll agree on a truce if you will. We'll set up a meeting tomorrow night at the synagogue and work out the terms. Now, here's what I want to know. If I can round up the jukebox boys and bring them to that meeting, will you meet with them?
Sure, sure. We got to live.
Well, if I don't hear any dissenting vote, I guess it's unanimous.
You mean that you and the dame, without any ammunition on you, are going to walk down to the jukebox?
Why not?
You just don't know the facts of life.
First, we made arrangements for the meeting to be held in the synagogue. Then Joe had another idea.
Let's get a war veteran to come to this meeting. And a minister.
Good. That's a swell idea.
And maybe a singer. You know, dress it up a little.
Fine. We made the arrangements by phone and then went on our way. Down Beckley Street to Gurney Boulevard and along the boulevard to Pitt Street, where the jukebox was, a soda fountain that was a meeting place for the boys. The street was lined with the usual 5- and 6-story apartment houses. And there were lots of stores, many of them vacant, and a streetcar line. Men and women were walking along about their affairs. None of the adults seemed to realize that this was a dangerous world they were in. Finally, we reached the soda fountain.
This is it. We meet them here.
It was an ordinary place with a few table booths in the rear and telephone booths. There were 6 Puerto Rican boys sitting at the soda fountain. Joe went up to them.
Hello, fellas.
What's on your mind?
The boys around Miller Park will meet with you under a flag of truce.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to have a meeting tonight, you and they. I talked to Gaucho about it. Didn't he tell you?
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Don't you know about the meeting because of the trouble on Monday?
What trouble? Come on, fellas.
They slid off their chairs and walked out into the street. Joe and I followed, but they quickly disappeared. Then another boy came up to us.
Hey, Gaucho wants to see you. Follow me.
Why can't Gaucho come here to see us?
Huh? Well, I'll ask him.
The boy left, and we waited. One by one, they began to appear. The kids, none older than 17. They crowded around us.
Quizás una emboscada de los judíos.
Let's get out of here, Gaucho.
Hello, Gaucho. Que contera es eso de un meeting?
Who wants a meeting? It's a frame-up, Gaucho.
Here come the cops, beat it.
No, wait.
Hey, what's all the crowd for?
We're waiting for a delegation to take to a peace meeting.
A crowd like this? That's asking for trouble, lady.
This is for a meeting in the synagogue. The Puerto Rican and the Jewish boys.
How's that?
Jack Davis, commander of Post 62, is going to represent the war veterans. And Reverend Donald Franklin will be there, too, the Protestant minister.
Well, all right, but keep moving.
Hey, look, Gaucho. She drove the bulls away.
Hey, what do you know? She's all right.
Well, what do you say, Gaucho? Coming?
Okay, fellas, let's go.
Where to, Gaucho?
To the meeting. What do you think? I'm not deucing out.
We started off. At the head went Joe, broad-shouldered and husky, and Gaucho, no more than 5'4", with a long, thin face and dark, sleek hair. He wore a broad-brimmed hat and pegged trousers. As we neared the Miller Park section, another policeman suddenly came running up.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
All right, keep going, fellas.
What's going on here?
Keep moving, Gaucho. I'll explain it to him.
It's all right, officer.
What's it all about?
Joe talked to the policeman. I watched Gaucho. He seemed to have shrunk in his tracks, but he kept moving. The others followed. Finally, we reached the synagogue and stopped.
Hey, Gaucho. Maybe it's a trap, huh?
We're not backing out. Juan, go on in there, see if the coast is clear. Report back.
The scout went in, and in a moment came back. He nodded reassuringly.
It's okay. No cops in there. Fine, let's go.
We started to file into the vestibule, looking back at the policemen and the people who had gathered on the sidewalk. Then we entered the auditorium. The delegation started down the long, narrow aisle. On one side, the Jewish boys were sitting on the benches. Their heads turned and they stared in amazement at the visitors. They could hardly believe their eyes.
Hey, Gaucho.
Yeah?
In a synagogue here, people are supposed to wear these little black skull caps. I got a dozen here, that is, if you want
to. Sure. Give them here.
What do you call these?
Yarmulkes.
Hey,
Hey, fellas, here's some yarmulkes for some of you to wear. It's the custom. Now, there ain't enough to go around, so the rest of you tie four knots in the corners of a handkerchief. Make a skull cap that way, you hear me?
Sure, sure, got you. Anything you say, sure.
I could see the Puerto Rican boys looking around, up at the simulated blue sky with its small white clouds and painted birds, at the heavy black prayer books, and at the list of names over the altar of Jewish boys in the armed service. The Reverend Franklin and a colleague were waiting on the altar. Then the war veteran came down the aisle carrying the American flag. All the boys stood up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now then, first I want to know, have any of you boys got any gripes you want to get off your mind? If so, now's the time.
Sure.
Go ahead.
The other day in front of the synagogue, when you guys chased us away, we weren't doing anything. Why did you have to chase us? It's a free country.
Well, why did you ask for a nickel?
We just asked. We weren't doing anything. No harm in asking.
Well, one of you hit a 60-year-old man on the head. What did you do that for?
He got in our way. We didn't mean to hit him.
Reverend Franklin, have you got anything you'd like to say?
Well, let's all try to forget what's happened. Not very much has happened. It's just that we got excited, and well, that's not surprising in times like these. But let's just remember this. Jews, Puerto Ricans, Spaniards, Negroes, all belong to groups of people that have been hounded in various parts of the world. And the same has been true at some time of almost every group of people. For some, it happened long ago, and for others, more recently. But just remember one thing. Overseas, we're fighting for democracy and freedom. Let's win the fight here, too. Now, let's shake hands, be Americans, and work together.
Gaucho, anything you'd like to say?
Gaucho got up and walked down to the front of the synagogue. A thin figure with his wide-brimmed hat pushed back on his head. He put his hands in his pockets, stood with his feet apart, and looked at the boys.
I got nothing to say. We're not fighting Jewish boys because they're Jewish. We can forget it if they can forget things. We don't want no trouble.
I wonder if we could take a vote on a permanent peace.
Why not?
All those in favor of extending the truce into a permanent peace, raise your hands. Well, I guess it's unanimous.
Okay, then. Let's all go down to the jukebox and have a Coke. Come on. We'll protect you.
And now we take pleasure in presenting On the Eternal Light, Rabbi Herman M. Cohn of the Temple of Aaron Congregation of St. Paul, Minnesota. Rabbi Cohn.
In the preamble of the United Nations Charter, drawn up at San Francisco and now seeking ratification, we find the following statement. We, the peoples of the United Nations, have agreed to the present charter to practice tolerance and to live together in peace with one another as good neighbors. America is a microcosm and includes in considerable numbers people of various races, ethnic groups, and creeds. The same desideratum of the United Nations applies with equal intensity to us. There can be no durable international peace unless we have intranational understanding and harmony. To achieve this, we must eradicate suspicion and fear from our midst. It is essential that we cultivate confidence in humanity. A Jewish sage taught that everyone should judge his fellow in the scale of merit. Suspicion is a relic of primitive society which regarded every stranger as an enemy. Many of our fears turn out to be groundless. What we call an act of aggression is often an innocent prank in which there is no intention to do us harm. But the comedy of errors may lead to the tragedy of terrors. We must cultivate respect for differences. We need to realize that our ways are as strange to others as theirs are to us. The story is told of a Chinese youth who obtained permission from his employer to attend a Chinese funeral. Before the boy left, the employer asked him if he was going to place food on the grave of his deceased friend. "Yes, of course," said the boy. "This is our custom." "And when do you expect your friend to come up and eat this food?" The lad was embarrassed for a moment and then retorted, "Just as soon as you expect the friend you buried last week to come up and smell the flowers with which you decorated his grave." America is a potential blessing to every group and to each individual in that group. Our help and goodwill can actualize it. In gratitude for the boon which America has been to us, we must strive to make it a blessing to our neighbor. We on the home front must avoid the snares and pitfalls of group indictment and group condemnation. Every person must be judged on the basis of what he achieves or fails to achieve. The fact that he is a member of a group which is white or black, native or foreign-born, Christian or Jew, is irrelevant. Our fighting men have learned this essence of democracy. The men in the bomber who are in the vicinity of the target are not concerned with the race or religion of the navigator or pilot or bombardier or gunner. They realize that the safety of all depends upon each man's ability to do his part at the critical moment. They have learned to appreciate each member of the crew on his merit. We can mold a greater America by forgetting about race, religion, and land of origin, and by stressing participation, friendship, and opportunity. This is the spirit of America. This is the spirit of religion, and the harbinger of peace, security, and happiness.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman M. Cohen. The Jukebox Boys in the Synagogue, dramatized for the Eternal Light by Joseph Liss, was suggested by a feature story by Sophie Smoliar of the newspaper PM. All names were fictional. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Cadens. Gatter Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple, Brookline, Massachusetts, was the soloist. The reporter was Dean Ellen, and Joe was played by Frank Maxwell. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program has been a public service presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and was brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. The Eternal Light came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Mm-hmm.